2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And then in Psalm 36:9, "For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light do we see light." And so the Lord who created the universe promises to reveal himself, to let the light of the knowledge of God's side shine out to us from the face of Jesus. And that it's in his light that we see light. Just that idea that when we see him and we see his face, then we see rightly. We're no longer stumbling around in darkness. We're no longer stumbling around with distorted vision. It's that when we see the Lord, when we see the face of Jesus, we see clearly. It's only in his light that we can see clearly. And so, Lord, I thank you for the revelation of who you are. I thank you that you reveal yourself. I thank you, Jesus, that we can see your face, and that as we see you, God, we see more clearly. That when things are foggy, when things are distorted, when things are unclear, all we have to do is look to you. All we have to do is look to you, Jesus. And it's in your light that we see light. Reveal yourself through the preaching of the word today, God. I thank you for how you've revealed yourself thus far, and I ask that you continue to do so. Open our hearts, God. Open our hearts to see you. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. So, today is the end of 4 parts of preaching through 1 Corinthians 13:7, where it says that, love bears all, believes all things. Well, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And, you know, when we, any of us who take the podium, it's an honor to deliver the word of the Lord. And it's one that isn't taken lightly. So any of us who come up here, we take the time with the Lord to, God, what are you saying? What is for your people? What is your heart for your church at this time? And this is one of those times where, like, this was really for me. Like, I'm glad that we're going on this journey together, but going through this for myself has been huge. Like, just kind of going, this isn't something that I've taking the time. Sometimes God's taking a message or something that you've already walked with him and journeyed with him and going, breathing new life on it and going, hey, let's keep going with this. But this was something new for me. And just taking the time to sit with the Lord and go, hey, my perception of love and my perception of all these words is distorted. Realizing how much baggage I was carrying into the idea of what it meant to bear all things in love, or to believe all things in love, or to hope all things in love. And so I'm just really thankful to have gone on this journey with the Lord and with you guys, and just the text message conversations I get to have with people about what the Lord is saying and what he's revealing and the questions and everything. It's fun to be in a community that journeys together in the Word, you know, and it's not something I take lightly, that I get to be part of a community that journeys together with the Word. I'm good, man. And so, because he's still going, and I'm like, Maybe we're doing something else, but no. Okay, so turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. Because I, despite circling around this one verse, I like to read the whole thing. Because the Word of God is beautiful, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So, 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So our first foundational thing comes from 1 John 4:16. God is love. Okay? We always start there. Because as people, our tendency is to start with us and make things bigger and call that God. Instead of starting with God and realizing that whatever we have is a dim reflection of what he intended. And it's particularly easy to do that with love because God has set us all in families and in communities and in interactions with other people. And just like we are a dim and distorted reflection of who God is, other people are dim and distorted reflections of whose God is. And so though we bear the image of God, we don't always act in the perfect image of God. And so for many of us, we've picked up a lot of baggage about what love means just because of what we've experienced. And so we're doing ourselves a huge disservice to look at our parents, our siblings, our friends, our spouses, and go, this is how I've seen love. So this is what it is, and I'm going to like times it by a million, and I'm going to say that that's how God loves me. Like, we do ourselves a huge disservice when we, let's say you look at your father, and you go, okay, God is a father, so that must be what it is. And for each of us, no matter how awesome our dads were, it does not match the glory of God as a father. And a lot of us did not have awesome dads. So some of us have awesomeness to kind of look at and go, oh, we kind of got a picture. A lot of us don't. And we have something that we're like, well, if God is a father... I maybe don't want to have anything to do with that, right? And it's because we're taking our piece and blowing it up. I think last time I gave the picture of if you have a really bad camera, okay, and so you take a picture, and maybe it looked really good small, okay, but your camera isn't that awesome. So then you tried to like, oh, this is good. Like, my picture of the sunset is banging, right? And so you try to explode it up so you can have, you know, sunset on your wall. And so you start expanding the picture. And then when you print it out, you're like, that doesn't really look like my picture. Okay, so when you started with small, it seemed like it was pretty cool, but then as you expanded it, it lost a lot in translation, You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Okay? But if you have, you know, I have friends who are professional photographers, and they have the, like, epic camera with all the, like, I don't even know what they're called, but they've got it all, and they've got the fancy lens. And so then they take the picture, and it's like 24 by 48, and it's like the underside of a leaf. And you can see all the detail and all the clarity, right? But it's like huge, but it's like this small little thing, but you can see everything. That loses nothing when you make it small, right? Like it hasn't lost any of its clarity or impact because you shrunk the picture down. You start small with something you thought was clear, you blow it up, it's not awesome, okay? You start big, you bring it down, it stays clear. And that's the same way it is with the Lord. If we start with the love of God, God is love, the huge picture of God, and we bring it down to the microcosm of what it looks like in our experiences, what it looks like for me, you know, being a mom and a wife and a daughter and a friend in 2019, you know, this is one little aspect of what love looks like because it's limited to who I am, the relationships I have, and the time frame that I live in. If I start with God and zoom, not, I guess it's not zooming when you go down, I bring it down, okay, into my little picture, I have not distorted the intention of it at all. Okay? But if I think that my expression of it, and I try to map it onto God, I am screwing a bunch of stuff up. Okay? And I say that over and over and over again because I know in my life that I'll think I've got it right. Like I'll do the adjustment, I'll do the tune-up, and I'm like, oh yeah, I've got this thing now. I've got this thing now. And then like a week later, I'm like, I'm a little out of alignment again. I kind of messed that up. You know, I snapped at my kids when I thought I had patience on lock. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh wait, I don't actually have this thing. Okay? And so it is important to continue to refocus, to realize I'm not the one who decides what these things mean. The Lord is the one who determines what these things. I am a reflection of Him. I am made in His image. He is not in my image. Okay? And sometimes it can be easy to think, oh, well, I flip it. I can flip it. But no, we are the blurry mirror of Him. Okay? He is not the mirror of us. He is the image where it started. Okay? So we've been walking through this whole thing. So bears all things, believes all things, endures all things, hopes all things. No, hopes all things, endures all things. Sorry. Okay. And I was saying when I first looked at it, I thought that they were just repeating. Like, bears all things and endures all things went together, and believes all things and hopes all things went together, and that it was just Paul being repetitive the way he sometimes is. You know, he's doing a literary kind of thing and just repeating himself. But as I studied it, I realized it was more like stair steps. Okay? Like it's an invitation to go higher and higher and higher. Like they build on each other rather than just staying like this. Okay. So bears all things, when we talked about it, we talked about bears being the idea of covering of a roof and how that we tend to distort that by thinking we go on two sides. One, which is that, oh, I've got to cover over everything. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Okay, so that means I never expose when someone's doing anything wrong. I never confront. I just, like, throw a blanket over the top and hide it. Like, I have little people. I have little kids. And my youngest is at that age where he doesn't really know how to hide. He would like to be hiding, but he doesn't quite grasp how to be hidden. So there's a lot of standing right next to the door, you know, full view, you know, but I'm like, where's Than? And he's like, you know, or the blanket over the top and it's moving and contorting, you know, but I'm like, where's Than? And it's laughing and it's twisting, but you know, no one can find him. And so sometimes we think that love bearing all things, or love covering a multitude of sins, is that idea of just like throwing the blanket over the top. when you do that, you're not hiding anything. There's still a bunch of junk under there. We see it moving. We see it churning. Sin does not giggle like Than does, but you hear it. You know it's there. And so some people fall to that side of the spectrum. I'm covering over. I can't expose. I can't confront because then I'm not acting in love. And then you have another side of people who look at that and go, well, that's obviously wrong. Like, I can't leave people being, like, if you're sinning against someone and you are hurting and damaging someone, like, I can't just throw a blanket over that. And so they go to the whole other side and they're like, everything is exposed. And then they just throw all the business out there. Like, there is no filter. Everything that you say is coming out. Everyone in the church knows all of the business. You know, you're in the prayer circle, and they're like, and I would like to pray for someone else in this circle who is, and then they just say everything, you know? And you laugh, but I've been in situations where, and I'm just like, oh. And they're not just exposing stuff that needs to be exposed. They're going over and above because they're reacting. It's a backlash against this other idea. And so if we start with the idea that God is love, then he doesn't cover over everything. Because there's stuff in my life that he has straight up exposed. He was like, hey, Valerie, get this right. Hey, Valerie, get this right. Hey, Valerie, get this right. And I'm like, and then suddenly someone's like, so, and they know the thing that the Lord has been going, hey, deal with this. Then suddenly it's exposed because I've been hiding it over and the Lord's been going, hey, you need to bring this open, you need to bring this open, you need to bring this open. And all of a sudden someone's confronting me about the thing that I should have confessed ages ago. So the Lord confronts us. The Lord even exposes us, okay? So if God is love and he's confronting and exposing, then bearing and covering can't mean that we cover everything. But also there's plenty of stuff in the life, my life, that is between me and the Lord. That in his grace and in his tenderness to me, he has gone. I'll help with that. Well, I'll restore what you screwed up. I'll fix it. We'll make it right. And then the path and the hole that I've dug, he's filled in, he's smoothed over, and he's brought me out of. So I go, okay, if God is love, I don't need to be churned up by other people's expression of covering over sin or exposing sin. I just have to look at what God actually does and find him and do what he does. So we looked at bearing all things in the idea of if it's all things, then it's actually all, okay? In the Greek and the Hebrew, all means all, okay? And so it means that it's stuff outside of the person, stuff inside of the person, stuff caused by sin, and stuff not caused by sin. And so because it's all. It's the storms that people walk through that they didn't cause. It's the inner storms that they did cause. And it's the stuff that they caused through sin or just because they're dealing with life, okay? And so we recognize that we support someone, okay, without sinking or yielding. And that's a phrase that I've come back to a bunch of times, that idea of that we express and we act in love without sinking or yielding. And how I've explained those two things is that yielding is yielding or enabling someone else's sin. Like, I'm giving way before your sin, okay? I am never acting in love if I am enabling you to continue to distance yourself from the Lord and to wrong and harm other people. I am not acting in love. Okay? Never. Okay? If someone's fighting and I'm fighting with them, like we're fighting for righteousness together and they're falling, like that's one thing. But I don't just let someone continue in sin and harming other people without acting against it, okay? And then sinking is the idea of me falling under the pressure of supporting them. Gave the example of how sometimes you say, hey, I'm going to help you with this. And then all of a sudden, there's way more than you thought it was going to be. One example is Ron's a musician. And so he gets asked to play for things. Okay? Sometimes they're paid gigs, sometimes they're not. We have learned over 14 and a half years of marriage how many questions he really needs to ask before he says yes to something. Because someone will ask him, hey, can you, you know, come and play first keys for this thing? It's just going to be real light, blah, 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 blah. And he'll be like, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden, he has like 10 text messages from them. All of a sudden, there's 5 or 6 rehearsals added in. They're long rehearsals. The other people aren't prepared, you know, and he's like, you was paying me $20 for this, and I'm putting in like 40 hours. Like, what? This is not. And so that is an idea of like sinking under it. They put so much weight on him that now, like, he can't even serve without it hurting him or hurting his family, right? And so it's the same thing when we're bearing someone else, when we're bearing with someone else through what they're dealing with. It is okay to set a boundary. You are not unloving to set a boundary. To say, hey, yeah, sure, I can help you get to work Tuesdays and Thursdays. Right? Like, it's okay. It's okay to say, hey, you're going to have to ask somebody else for this other thing. Or, sure, you can stay with me for 1 week. Okay? It's okay to do that. So when we bear all things, we are not yielding to sin, and we are not sinking under pressure. Okay? Talked about believing all things. And so many times you hear that explained as like, you believe the best over the person. So if they say they're going to do it this time, you're like, yeah, okay. And so you believe all things because if you don't believe them when they say they're going to do it, then now you're not loving. And then for those of us who maybe have people in our lives who are not truthful or consistent or anything, we're like, so how do those things work? You know, how do I do that? And we talked about how love believing all things was actually about us believing what the Lord was capable of doing. It wasn't believing in the fallibility of someone else. It was believing in the consistency and permanence of the Lord. And going, because 1 Corinthians 13 is written to us. It's written to the church. It's written to people who have had a life-changing experience with the Lord, who've been translated from darkness into light. So I'm looking at that experience I had with the Lord. And I'm going, in a moment, God took me from darkness into light, and I believe that he can do it for this other person too. And so I'm going to act towards them, believing that the state that they are in now is not the state that they will always have to be in. Because in a moment, God could change it. And maybe this is that moment. I don't prejudge them. I don't go, well, they're always going to be like that. Ron calls it shibonics. Always and never. You always do blah, blah, blah. You never do blah, blah, blah. Okay? And so I don't put that on someone else. I extend a hand towards them in love going, this could be the moment that everything changes. Okay? If they're a believer, I go, well, God's taking me from glory to glory to glory. He's not a man that he should lie. He finishes the work that he started. I am changing and becoming more righteous day by day by day, and I believe that the Lord is doing that in my brother and my sister in Christ. Yeah. And so I act in love towards them, believing that God is changing them. Okay? So I don't withhold good. Okay? I extend myself going, this could be the moment where God breaks in. And I will not withhold myself from engaging with them because this could be the moment. You know, I planted a seed, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I don't withhold good. I extend myself out because this could be the thing that God uses to change them for eternity. Okay. Then we talked about hoping all things. And so while believing all things works with my present actions, hoping all things is always a future thing, right? Hoping all things, and I'm going to look at my actual wording. Okay. Is that hope is how we carry our hearts in the reality that is coming, right? Because we said there's a reality that we're in right now where there's a reality that is coming. And hope is how we carry our hearts now, knowing that there's something different coming. Okay? And so love hopes all things is that I look to the coming good of eternity and I act anchored in that. So I go, there is a moment where the goodness of God is going to break in this world in an unprecedented way. He is going to appear in the sky, and in that moment, I will be like him. And because there is that moment that I will be like him, this is 1 John, I purify myself now. Because I know there's a moment when I will match up with what I see. I get myself as ready as I can now. I clean myself up as ready as I can now. So that means purifying myself means that I don't act with insincere motivations. I don't act manipulatively, right? Okay. So I don't give to someone because, well, if I do this, then I'll have something to hold over them later. Okay. I look at what's coming and I go, because God is so good, because God is so loving, I change my heart now to line up with him for them. Okay? So we've been building. We talked about, like, hey, this is how we support one another, believes all things. This is how we do everything together, even when there's not a storm. Okay? This is how I treat you. I treat you like God is going to break in at any moment because he's capable of it. Hopes all things. I go, hey, there's a moment when I'm going to be like him. And because there's a moment when I'm going to be like him, I change my heart now to be as like him as I can. Okay? And so now we're at endures all things. And endures is another one of those words that the way we use it isn't the way God has it. So many times we talk about endurance and we mean, well, just got to slog through that muck, right? Like that's how we talk about enduring something. Well, it's like I got a shackle around my feet and I'm just going to drag it through. I've just got to endure. You know, it's one of those, like the old gospels that are sad, the gospel songs that are just like, well, we're going to go, right? And it doesn't bring any joy to your heart. It's just like, right? Okay. Like we're singing the blues, but we're calling it worship. Okay. And so a lot of times that's what we say about endurance, right? We're like, you know, the blues or those old country songs. It's like, my dog died, my truck died, my love left. I'm just going to keep on keeping on. Right? And there's moments where that's true in our lives. Okay? But that is not what the Lord means by endurance. Okay? So, endure, the Greek word endure is hypomeno. Hypomeno. To remain, to abide, to not recede or flee. Okay? To persevere. To hold fast. In the 1828 dictionary, it's to last, to continue in the same state without perishing, to suffer without resistance or without yielding. Okay? And suffer, not like be in pain, suffer as in hold on to, like I'm patient with you without resistance or without yielding. To bear, to sustain, to support without breaking or yielding to force or pressure. So the idea of endurance, it carries this sense of continuing in a certain state without putting limits on how long you will stay there. It's the idea of pressing in without withdrawing or maintaining distance out of fear. It's a whole different thing. When we say love endures all things, we're not saying, so that relationship is like a shackle and a chain around your leg and you just kind of gotta deal. It's a shackle. It's making blisters. It's keeping you from moving forward to where you really want to be. But God says love them, so it means you just gotta deal. Okay. No. Endurance is active. Okay? It's active. It's me saying, I am going to stay here and press forward. And I'm not going to say only for this long or only until you. It's removing the other person's piece out of the equation. So many times we say, well, I'm going to do this until they, whatever we've decided is the line that cannot be crossed. Because they blah, 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 now I do whatever. My cousin, we are buddies in adulting, we say. We are each other's adulting buddies. And so we cheer each other on when we do such interesting things like clean out the refrigerator, you know, or, you know, make a doctor's appointment. Okay, we're like, we've been that for 15 years for each other. Just, oh, I didn't want to call the doctor, but I did it. I couldn't figure out my insurance benefits, but I called them, you know, and we're like, yay. So we cheer each other on in this idea of adulting. And so the latest thing we've been having a conversation about is about the idea of boundaries versus the idea of walls. Okay. And just coming to the realization that some of the things we thought in our life were boundaries were just us making ultimatums and putting up a wall. There is a difference between putting a fence around your property and saying, hey, people who respect me are not going to go past this fence uninvited. Or putting up 50-foot concrete walls with barbed wire and machine guns at the top. Okay, those are different things. And so sometimes emotionally, we have the concrete walls and the barbed wire and the machine guns. You shall not pass, okay? Instead of the fence, okay? Which is the healthy approach that says, my past does not define my future. Yes, I'm defining my property. I'm defining how you can interact with me. But that does not close us off from a future relationship, okay? Just because you're on the other side of the fence right now doesn't mean you don't get to come in later. If you're on the other side of the concrete wall and the barbed wire and the machine guns, you're not coming in, okay? So I've said that my past defines my present and it defines my future. That what happened to me here, I am now stuck there forever, okay? That's your difference between your boundary and your wall. Your boundary says, yeah, this happened. Yeah, I was hurt. Yeah, some things got to shift in our relationship, but we can grow past this, okay? And so when we're talking about endurance, much the same way a boundary does not force someone else to change. It says, this is what I will allow, but you do you. You don't get to infringe past here. I want you to be better, but this is the area that I can control. And so I'm going to manage my responses to how people act to me. I can't control how they act. Okay? A wall tries to control how someone else acts. A boundary says, this is my space. I'm dealing with me. Okay? And so endurance is the same thing. Endurance says, this is what I am doing. This is where I am staying. This is how I am pressing forward. It is not dependent on you. Even though I'm in a relationship with someone else, okay? Enduring in love means you continue in love without putting limits on how long you will maintain your press, and without distancing yourself because of fear. It does not mean someone gets full access. Remember, originally I said, boundaries does not mean that you're not loving, okay? It doesn't mean that someone treads all over you. It means that I hold my heart with the idea that at any moment things can change. And I'm going to hold that attitude even though they're fill in the blank with the adjective of your choice, because we all deal with different things. I'm going to continue to maintain. I am going to continue to press forward. I'm going to continue to bear all things, believe all things, and hope all things in the midst of the storms that we're in the midst of your sin, or in the midst of your just whatever's happening, okay? Because sometimes we're in a storm and it's through no fault of our own, okay? Like, I've had cesareans, right? And so A few of those have not gone really well, and so I've been laid up for even longer, okay? It's not anyone's sin. Ron has to support me in a different way than he expected, for longer than he expected, but it's not because anyone did anything wrong. We're in a storm, but it's just, we're in a storm. It's not because I screwed something up, okay? So that's why I say a storm caused by sin or a storm not caused by sin, because sometimes you're just in a swirl because you're in a swirl, okay? And so enduring means that I continue in that idea. This is why it's the fourth one. I continue in that idea of bearing your stuff with you, of believing that at any moment the Lord can break in and change things, of recognizing the good that is coming and anchoring myself in that idea. That the hopes all things is this idea that even if nothing changes here, I will be rewarded with the Lord. I am not forgotten. I am not lost. I am not alone. What I do bears fruit, regardless of whether or not the other person ever responds to it. Okay? What you do in love bears fruit, regardless of whether or not the other person ever responds. Okay? And so enduring all things means that I continue with that attitude and with that heart, and I don't make it a quid pro quo. I don't say, well, I'm going to believe all things until they leave me. I'm going to bear all things until they screw this thing up. I'm going to bear all things until it's been 5 years and nothing's changed. Endurance says, I continue on because I choose to continue on. Not because of what they do. I continue on because I choose. Enduring in love means continually engaging your heart without timidity, concession, or decline. So timidity, I don't faint back because of fear. I don't lose courage to engage my heart. I mentioned in the past, you know, that I grew up with a single mom. You know, my dad was not around through my childhood. That both of us are not awesome communicators when it comes to, like, each other. So there was just a lot of silence when we were together or not talking about things that actually mattered. And so as I got older and I got anchored in the love of the Lord, okay, then I was able to engage my heart with him without worrying about how he responded. Because I was getting what I needed from Jesus. So when I was younger, it hurt. Like, hey, don't get a response back, right? It's like, oh, I'm never going to do that again. Or being scared to reach out because what if he doesn't? Like, what if I text him and he doesn't respond? What if I say this and he doesn't do this? That's timidity, losing courage, okay? So endurance means that you go forward without losing courage, okay? Without concession, okay? That idea of yielding or resigning or surrendering or giving way. And once again, I tied that to the idea of the sin in someone else's life. I don't concede to their sin. Just because I'm enduring in love does not mean that I tolerate, you know, I don't even know what word to put in there, just but junk. You know, it means sometimes Ron and I are talking to a parent and they're like, my kid is bringing drugs into my house. Like my adult kid, they're bringing drugs into my house. They're like dealing drugs on the corner. They're doing this, we're doing that. And they're like an adult. Like we're not even talking about like a younger teen or something. Like, and we're like, okay, so why are you letting them still live in the house? And they're like, well, I love them. And we're like, but they are really violating you're everything. Like, they are violating all of this. Okay? And so we're like, hey, you can love and you can set a boundary that this is not permitted in their house. You can't stop them from using, but you can say it doesn't come in your house. And that if it comes in the house, they will no longer be in the house. Like, you can, that is a thing you get to say. You know, it's not, you don't get to say, like, you can't control what they do, but you can control what they bring into your property or what you allow in thing with you. You know, I can't control whether the language someone uses, but I can control whether or not they get to swear when they talk to me. Okay? Because if they use that language when they're speaking to me, I can walk away. I can hang up. I cannot control them, but I can set a guideline for interaction that I remove myself from the situation. Okay? So, I continually engage my heart without conceding to their sin. Okay? Without conceding to their sin. Okay? Or enabling is the word a lot of times we use now. Okay? I engage my heart without decline. That means I am consistent. I am not like, okay, we're doing this love thing. We're doing this love thing. We're doing this love thing. And it's just like, yeah, just going down, 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 down. Like I was like, okay, well, so maybe I made a commitment. I'm going to call them every day. Maybe that's, you know, something, okay. I'm going to call them every day. And then they don't pick up. So I'm like, I'm going to call them every second day. I'm going to call them once a week. I'm going to call them once a month. And it's not you setting a boundary. Like something happened and so you chose to change how you interacted. It was just, you lost energy. They didn't respond the way you wanted them to in the time frame that you wanted them to. So you just, yeah, let it go down. Okay? Because sometimes we change stuff because there's a reason to. A lot of times we change stuff because we lost energy. My cousin, my adulting buddy, and I have the thing of saying, she'll tell me, trust past Valerie. Because I'll make a plan with wisdom and like when I had energy, and then I get in the middle of it and I'm like, maybe I shouldn't do. And she's like, trust past Valerie. Like, has anything changed? No, nothing changed? Okay, so trust the plan that you made because you're in the middle of it now and you're distorted. Trust clear-headed Valerie. Don't trust Val who's in the middle of it, okay? And so that idea of without decline, trust the plan that you made with the Lord. Don't give up with it because it's hard, because you're in the middle of it, right? If something changed, okay, react to the change. But so many times nothing changed and we are just losing steam, okay? Engaging in love means continually engaging your heart without timidity, concession, or decline. The ability to maintain an engaged heart comes from our connection with the love of the Lord. It comes from our connection with the love of the Lord. See this in John 15 when he talks about abiding in him in the vine. I'm going to go to that. I'm going to go to that as soon as my phone opens. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. John 15, I started right in the first one. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Okay? Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He is the vine, we are the branches. We bear fruit because we're connected with him. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Right? Right there. We cannot love without a connection with the Lord. We love because he first loved us. We can do something that people might call love, but we have no ability to sustain or maintain unless we are connected with the love of the Lord. Because sometimes we go, well, that person is loving and they don't know Jesus. And yeah, they're doing something. They're doing something. Not going to negate what they're doing. But it is not the true love of the Lord. It is not able to be sustained or maintained or come to its full fruition without Jesus. Okay? We can't drum it up without him. I just did some yard work. I was cutting down branches and cutting a bunch of stuff. And it's like, we filled up our cans really fast, so there's still a pile on the yard. And those things that I cut, a week later, they are dead. There's a lot of branches sitting in a pile in my yard, and they are not doing nothing but getting dry and brown. The ones that I allowed to survive are still green and fresh because they are connected with that which sustains them. Do not make the mistake of thinking that you are a vine when you are the branch, okay? If you are not connected with the Lord, it is going to dry up. Whatever you think you have going for you is going to dry up. Now, plenty of times, like, I cut those things down, day one, they still look good. You know, day two, you know, it was getting a little wilty, okay? But they were declining. They were not continuing in life. And sometimes we disengage from what the Lord is doing and we're still kind of going for a little while. We still feel like we've got some life. And so it's easy to believe that we can do it without him. Because for a little while, we're depending on the stuff that we already knew. We're depending on our natural giftedness, okay? And we're making stuff happen. We're doing stuff. But it becomes clear the longer you go on that you are not the vine. You are a branch, okay? You will not be able to endure in love if you have yourself in the wrong spot in this equation. Love comes from the Lord to us, and then as we abound in his love, we are able to spill it out. We spent a bunch of time in Kansas City at the International House of Prayer. They talk about the apostolic prayers, okay? And they're like, let your love abound still more and more and more. And they'll take water, so they'll have like a vase, and they'll take water, and they're like, still more and more and more, until the vase starts out empty. And they're pouring the pitcher of water in, and the water overflows. And so my kids, from a young age, they were talking about, hey, by yourself, you're like this empty vase. And then we ask the Lord to pour out his love on us still more and more and more. And he fills us up, and he fills us up, and he fills us up. And then what happens? And it's like, oh, it all spills over, and we have love for everyone else. You will not be able to endure in love without his love abounding in you. If we do not abide in him, we have no ability to maintain our heart appropriately. Remember, we talked about that verse in 1 John that when we see him, we will be like him, and so we purify ourselves. If I am not holding that idea, if I'm not looking at his light and going, oh, I want to be like him, so I'm going to purify myself, it is very easy for the selfish motivations to then creep back in. Then all of a sudden, these things that I'm doing in the name of love, I'm manipulating. I'm guilting people into. I'm being insincere in my expression of it, okay? Because if I don't hold that picture of him that I'm continually reaching forward for, then I'm just that distorted thing myself. I'm not trying to get clear. I'm just distorting more and more. It's like a funhouse mirror reflecting in a funhouse mirror. You know, first I was just a little wavy, and now I'm like wavy and squashed and like tilted to the side. And then you do it again, and now it's something weird, okay? We love because he first loved us. Our ability to love is rooted in his love for us. And so, fortunately, his love is everlasting, right? We never run out of his love. It's not like my ability to love somebody else is rooted in my husband's love for me. Right? Where, who knows what it's going to look like from any given day. And that's not a knock on my husband. That's just us being people. I could easily reverse it and go the other way. If his ability to love was rooted in my ability to love him, he would be screwed up. Okay? Because I do not always do that well. And so if he's dependent on me and how I'm acting for him to act right, but because the Lord is perfect and his love is perfect and his love is never changing, if I'm anchored in that, then I have that to lean on. I can endure because, once again, we know that that coming good is coming. That my love and my actions in love bear fruit regardless of what the other person does. It bears fruit regardless. One more verse. James chapter 3. And we're going to the wisdom section. So verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Impartial and sincere. Sorry. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Ron and I just read this excellent book called Stuck by Bob Sorge. It just came out a couple weeks ago. It's about resolving conflict in your marriage. But it is bigger than that. It like talks about resolving conflict just in general and what the role of the church is in people's relationships. And it is excellent. And at one point, he's talking about this biblical way to go about this. And he's like, you may go, ooh, I think if I follow this, it's going to make things worse. And he's like, well, you have two choices. You can follow your wisdom about what's going to fix the situation, or you can follow God's. And he's like, personally, I'm following God's. I say this because when we talk about this idea of enduring in love, of bearing in love, of believing in love, of hoping in love, it can be very easy to go, that can't be right. If I do this, it's going to be worse for me, and it's going to be worse for my heart. I am going to get hurt if I do this. And we have two choices. We can do it the way we think we should do it, which is earthly, unspiritual, demonic, leads to disorder and every vile practice. Or we can do what God says, which is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, and leads to a harvest of righteousness. Acting in love will bear good fruit, whether you see it in your relationship with the other person or not. It bears good fruit in your heart now, and it bears good fruit and good rewards for all of eternity. Acting in the love of the Lord, while sometimes it may hurt, will not damage you. And there's a difference between that. Something being painful and something damaging you. Following the way of the Lord, the way he says to do it, will never damage you. It will always lead to a harvest of righteousness. Now, the other person has their own part to play. We don't control them, but we know that doing what the Lord says, loving the way he says to love, will lead to good things. Always. God is not a man that he should lie. He is faithful. His word does not return void, but it goes forth to do that which it was purposed to do. Loving the way God says to love, acting the way he says to act, will always bring forth good, both in this life and in the next. God, you are good. I thank you that your wisdom is pure, that it bears peace, that it is gentle, that it is full of mercy, that it is full of good fruits, that it is impartial. It is for each one of us, God. That it is sincere, that it bears no falsity. Lord, I thank you that you have given us and revealed to us a way to walk in our relationships. That though it may be hard, that you have promised good will always come from it. That though it may be hard, you have promised that we will reap a harvest of righteousness. That though it may be hard, it will not damage us. You are love, God. You are love, God. Help us to be a more perfect, a more accurate, a more clear representation of your love. Help us to love in the midst of all things, that the relationships that we're in, that we act in love when there's storm surrounding us, when there's storm inside of us, when the relationships are tweaked because of sin or tweaked because of all the other junk that goes on in this life. Help us to bear all things. Help us to believe all things. Help us to hope all things. Help us to endure all things, but not to do it in the distorted way that this world would say that we should do it. In your light, we see light, God. So reveal your light to us. Give us the knowledge of God that we would love like you. Not the way our family history says we should love. Not the way betrayals by friends say that we love, should love. Help us to love because you loved us first. And Lord, right now I pray that you would reveal a greater dimension of your love to each one of us. That wherever we're currently at, you would give us something new, God. Help us to see more clearly. Help us to feel more deeply. Give us a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. Those areas that are still hard, those relationships that are stuck, God. Help us to engage. Help us to engage without shrinking back because of fear. Without yielding because of sin, without declining because we just don't have the energy to keep going. Give us a heart of flesh that allows us to engage well, that allows us to love well. Give us courage, God, to love. Give us the courage and the strength to love like you love. Pray that you would secure our branches just more closely to your vine, God. That we would reveal, we would receive everything that is necessary from you to walk in love. Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Perfect your love in us, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, you can feel free to come down front and we'll meet you here. The baskets will be here for a little bit longer if you didn't have the opportunity to give and would like to. There are refreshments in the back, and please stay. Be part of our community and stay in fellowship for a bit. Have an excellent night, and we will see you next week. God bless you all.